June 1st, 1994, and I'm talking with Marilyn Jesawala, continuing to chronicle some of his remembrances of beloved Baba over the course of his life. In the last taping session, we had talked about some of the early episodes of the Blue Bus Tour with Baba, which Marilyn joined in Mandla. And today, we wanted to resume with some of the reminiscences of the time in Jabalpur, which would have been in late 1938, right?
Yeah, no, early 1939, because the Blue Bus journey started on 8th of December, if I recollect correctly. So by the time Baba reached Mandla, I think we were into 1939, and this incident, which we didn't complete last time, about the fish and Baba's mother. So I think it occurred in 1939. It was the occasion of my thread ceremony. In Parsi, when the boy comes of age, then or a girl, then we have a sort of confirmation ceremony, as is common even among the Jews and other communities. So when the boy comes of sense and of age, then they take him officially into the religion, as it were. So some sort of ceremony is performed. In the Parsi, they call it the thread ceremony or Navjot. And Baba actually wanted to perform it himself. And my father said, no, Baba, it would be better if the priest did it. So Baba said, all right, please yourself. And so unfortunately for me and my cousin Sam, because he was also of my age, he was about 6 months senior to me. So Baba sent word to my aunt Banumasi that she should bring her child Sam also there, and the two boys Navjot ceremony to be performed together.
Mm. And this is in Jabalpur.
This is in Jabalpur,
where all this came up.
Yeah. Mm. So when Baba's mother Shirinma heard that my aunt is coming from Bombay, she tells my mother that, see, tell your sister to bring with her a nice pair of fresh pomfrets, because she liked to eat them. They are delicious fish, yes. So, but at that time, it was a phase of strict vegetarianism for the ashram. So, and anything that entered the ashram always had to have permission of Baba personally. Each and every item that came in or went out, Baba personally saw to it. But when this letter was written, then Baba's mother asked my mother to quietly put in a PS sort of thing, to bring this fish without informing Baba.
So after the letter had already been through inspection,
yeah,
afterwards.
Then in the PS, my mother added that, look, Baba's mother would want you to bring a pair of good fresh pomfrets when you come over. So my aunt comes at the appointed time and date, and Shirinmai tells my mother, go, your sister has come, see if she has brought the fish. So my mother goes there and says to Banumasi that, well, have you brought the fish? She says, yes, of course. So she quietly takes the vessel from her and quickly brings it in, and tells mother, Baba's mother, that yes, the fish has arrived. So then that lunchtime, my mother heats it up and brings it to serve to Baba's mother. Then as it is laid out on the table, and Baba's mother tries to take a morsel out of it, suddenly from nowhere, two cats suddenly jumped on her shoulder, one on each side. And Baba's mother was rather, she never liked cats, especially black-colored cats. And I don't know from where these two black cats suddenly arrived on the scene. And when they were perched on her shoulder, she screamed loudly and threw the fish off to distract the cats. The two cats pounced on the two pieces of fish and just made off with the fish. Just then, Baba arrived on the scene. And Baba looked askance. He says, "What's the smell I get of fish? How come in the ashram smell of fish?" And my mother, who got very scared, she said, "Baba, yeah, she didn't ask for it to be brought from Bombay. But without my order, how did it come in? Who got it?" As if Baba never knew anything. He professed total ignorance. And Baba's mother flared up, you know. She said, "Yes, Marok, it's I who called for it. You have anything to say to that?" So Baba says, "But without my order, mother, how could you do that? But I called for it. I like fish, you know. You know how I like fish." But mother, you know that in the ashram that it's strict vegetarian, and how is it that you did that? "Well," she said, "I liked it and I just called. And I know you didn't want me to eat, and that's why these cats came in. I know it's all your working." So Baba says, "It's fortunate that those two cats came and made away with the fish and saved you from breaking my orders. So you should consider yourself very lucky." And that peeved mother all the more. So it was a very funny incident, but it brings home to us how Baba takes care that his orders are not violated. Yes, so the timing of the incident, the cats coming on the scene, and Baba arriving there, and pointing out that his order is all important, even for his mother. So that's what brings home to us that point very clearly.
It seems like only his mother would have had the audacity to try such a thing.
Yeah, well, she had the prerogative of being his mother, and Baba always allowed her to have those prerogatives. But despite that, Baba had certain restrictions on her which she used to follow, yes. But still, mother is after all mother. Yeah. So, it reminds me of earlier days when my mother first joined the ashram and at Narabad, and she says that she asked my mother to be of service to her, and Baba told my mother that she should serve Baba's mother and do whatever she said. So one funny incident that my mother told me was that once she was just massaging Baba's mother's feet. It was evening time, and Baba just suddenly happened to come in. And so Baba's mother got up. Then Baba says, inquired something, and he said, "Mother, I would like to sit on your lap today." So it was a very, very nice scene that my mother described. That mother got very annoyed, Baba's mother. He says, "Mehrok, behave yourself. There are people all around. What they will think about this? And you're so heavy besides." No, Baba said, "I want to sit on your lap." And he just came and sat on her lap. So it was a nice scene that I suddenly remember now here. So these little scenes would be there with mother and Baba. Yeah.
And she came and joined at Jabalpur. She wasn't traveling on the blue bus with Baba.
No, she would come off and on and be with Baba. Whenever she liked to come, she would write a letter that she's coming, and then she would just come in. But she had the prerogative to be there. Yeah. So that's how these incidents would take place.
Right. And your mother had this special relationship with her.
Yeah, my Baba's mother was very fond of my mother, and they would get on very well together.
Yeah.
So not with other women, but particularly with my mother.
Uh-huh.
She would be very chummy, tell her stories of old time with Baba when he was young, and my mother would pester her to tell stories, and sometimes she would get annoyed and say, why bother me with this all the while? What's there to tell about these stories of young days of Baba? And my mother would be after her, and when she got into the mood, she would tell her very, very lovely stories of those days. Yes.
So, do you remember other things from that stay or that time?
Yeah, then the thread ceremony was performed. Yes, there was another little scene at that time. Masaji was always in charge of the cooking. Yes, he was an expert cook, especially for big occasions, for big crowds. He had that knack of cooking for big people, big crowd. So during my Navjot, he was in charge of all the arrangements for the food. And for breakfast, lunch, I don't know. Sev is the thing that is done on auspicious occasions. Sev is like a sort of vermicelli, which is a sweet dish which is served for guests who come for the ceremony. So, Masaji had ordered out these packets of vermicelli, and he had laid them aside in the kitchen for the next day for cooking the sev. And the quantity of water to be used, the sugar, everything he would measure out. He knew the proportions. So in the night, my mother and Banumasi were just going around the kitchen, and Banumasi happened to ask her, what are these packets? So my mother said, Masaji is going to cook sev tomorrow. But so many packets, Masaji has a big hand. I think we'll take away some packets from here. So she took out three or four packets from the lot that were kept there. And the next day, Masaji made that sev, and the proportion was all messed up, so it became very slurry, you know. And somehow he came to know that some people had been into the kitchen and removed the packets. And when he came to know about it, he just flared up. He came with that big spoon, which is meant for stirring, to hammer Banumasi for spoiling the sev and his reputation. Because Baba said, what is this sev? It's all like dal. What have you made? So Masaji was very mean. Masaji had a very nasty temper. But after flaring up, then he would forget everything. He was a strong, hefty person with a big moustache. Still remembering. But a very lovable person, nevertheless.
So Baba was there at your thread ceremony, but he didn't officiate, although
no,
he didn't want us to do that.
He was there during the thing. Of course not with all the crowd, but seen from somewhere, I don't know, I'm not so sure about it, but he was in the same premises.
So this was a pretty big, it sounds like a lot of people were there.
Yeah, quite a few people had come. There was Jal Kerawala, was one of our close family friends, and he was a big government officer there. So because of him also many other people had come of good standing and reputation. So it was a big occasion, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then this insight, and I remember Mera gave us as presents Baba's photo in a marble frame. So one to Sam and one to me. Yes, good. I remember that.
Do you still have those photos somewhere?
Well, for a long many years we had them, but I don't know now. But blessed by Baba, yeah. So that was Jabalpur. Then Baba wanted to carry on with his bus journey, and it was time for me to be entered into a school, because at that time the schools were to reopen. So yeah, so Baba then ordered all the family to stay behind. Even Dadi was called back from Bombay, and Dadi, Sam and myself, all three were entered into a school in Jabalpur. And Baba proceeded on with his bus tour. And we entered school, and we were there for quite a few months. And then sometime later, we received Baba's call that we should leave everything and again join him in Bangalore.
Your whole family had been staying in Jabalpur? Is that what you
said? Yes. My mother, my two sisters, myself, Banu Masi, Dadi, Sam.
Right.
All of us were there.
Yeah. Your father was someone who had a marriage, of course, was
your father. Yeah, yeah.
During these days, would you have much to do with Erich, or was he so occupied that essentially he was...
Well, most of the time he was with Baba, but he would be sent off and on back to the family when there was no work. Probably mustools had started then, I think. So after a big session of a mustool, I think he would be sent back here to the family, would be with us for a few days. Baba would call him back. So Erich would keep moving back and forth to the family until right up to new life.
Oh.
Yeah. Erich would come and stay with the family off and on. But after the new life, after the new life started, then he stopped coming altogether. And only when Baba would come to Pune, that Baba would send Erich for the night to Bindra House, where we were staying in Pune at that time. So then most always Erich would be with Baba. Except for the last year in Guru Prasad in 1968, when Baba didn't send Erich to Bindra House, even for the nights. Mm. That was a period of exceptionally strict seclusion. The penultimate year of his life. Yes. So much so that whoever stayed in Guru Prasad didn't step out of Guru Prasad premises, and those who were out were not allowed to step in. Except the boy who was sent to get Baba's food. Mm-hmm. So that was the only link we had. But we could telephone from outside and give news or talk with Erich on the phone, but not allowed to get into the Vipassana. Right.
Yes. So the seclusion extended to the entire household for that period?
For all Baba, Pune lovers and all lovers of Baba. Nobody was allowed to go into Guru Prasad.
So those darshans that had been held in the summer months?
Nothing. Baba, when he entered Guru Prasad, we were out. We never saw him. And when he left Guru Prasad in the car, we were standing at a side gate and given instructions that when the horn was blown and the car left the compound, only then we could enter. So we couldn't see Baba. So that strict. That was the time when the chair was there and nobody was allowed to touch it. Baba was working on it. Yes. So So as I was saying, Eric would keep coming to the family off and on and join us and go back when Baba would call him again. Mm-hmm. So that used to be how Eric stayed with us.
Was that a nice event for you all? Fresh news from Baba?
Yeah, when Eric came, we got all the news, all about mastiffs and all the different incidents that would occur. Unfortunately, nobody ever thought of recording all these, so we didn't have that sense at that time. So all that is lost, actually. Yeah.
Well, you were living it. Why record it?
Yeah, that's how it was. But still, there were some people who had that sense of taking down notes or something and recollecting things later on, which we missed, you know. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So Baba then called you to come to Bangalore, which would have, I think, been...
Yeah, Bangalore was like 1939. The war just was started, I think. The Second World War started, and we were in Bangalore.
Yeah.
It was in the bungalow called the Lynx. It was a palatial bungalow of some royal family or what, I don't know. Very beautiful place. And overlooking the golf links. There was a very beautiful golf course just across the road. That's why the bungalow was called the Links.
Was this just a little bit outside?
No, it was in Bangalore, but out in the open, far away from the congested part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And very beautiful place with a big compound. And it had a first floor, as far as I remember. And the first floor was all of wood. It was a dancing floor, made of timber.
Oh.
So, yes.
You had ballroom dances?
Yeah, something. Big hall was there, and it had this polished wooden floor all over. But the disadvantage of that was that Baba entered into seclusion when in the links, and at one time he wanted that there should be not the slightest sound. So on top was this wooden floor, and the Westerners were there on the hall up there. And I remember they had these high heels, and they would walk on the floor, and there was this big sound of people walking there. And somebody would rush up and say that they have to be very quiet. So it was a sort of a disadvantage to have a wooden floor there.
Yeah. Bangalore, I gather, has a very nice climate and is generally quite a lovely city.
Yeah, it has a very English climate, as they call it.
Oh.
So when the Westerners were all there, Baba, they said, Baba, this is a ideal place to settle down. Baba went along with them. Baba said, yes, I do like this place very much. So let's make this our headquarters now for all time. So then the idea of a universal spiritual center was mooted. And Baba encouraged everybody. So a big landowner gifted a huge estate to Baba called Dera Mangla. It was a place about, I think, 15 to 20 miles off Bangalore, and it was a vast open space, I think a couple of square miles in area. It was gifted to Baba, and Baba said, now he had decided that this universal center should be built here. So a date was set for the groundbreaking ceremony. And I still remember it was a very big event. Baba had sent invitations to all the elite and the big shops there. Even the Diwan of Mysore Yeah, he was like the prime minister, you know, it was the Mysore state. So Diwan was like the head of the administration there, and he was a very influential person. So even he was called as a guest of honor.
So Baba was quite well known at this time in that part of India among
Baba was quite well known, but he was he wouldn't allow much public to meet him.
Mm.
It was a restricted sort of audience that he would ever give. But still, it wasn't very secluded at that time. So he would be available for small darshans and all that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And at that time, of course, there was this big anti-movement from Colonel M.S. Irani.
Oh,
he was very active then. And he took upon himself to pursue Baba wherever he was. So he would come over and reserve big halls and give speeches trying to expose Baba's fraud and all that. So, the Mandali would want to give replies or stop this activity, and Baba would never allow them to do that. Baba said, "This is free, free publicity for me," as it was. Not exactly that word, but Baba would say, "No, he's doing great work for me by doing all this. More people are hearing about me than you people wanting to talk about me. So let him proceed with his work, and we keep doing our work." So, because of his anti-propaganda, many people got to know about Baba. So yes, in Bangalore.
So he was there. He came to Bangalore.
Yeah, he, and then Baba sent Norina and all these people, Deshmukh, to give speeches for on behalf of Baba. So there would be all this things going on.
Do you remember this as a boy at the time, this sort of controversy happening?
Not much, but later on,
yeah.
I was really small then. And then this groundbreaking ceremony was to be done. And that time also, a big group of people had plotted to sort of disrupt the whole ceremony. So they started in a car, and Padri was given some work, and he was going towards Dera Mangla, and he saw this car proceeding ahead of him. So he was following the car, and it was all these anti-people who had who were proceeding to the site and wanting to disrupt the whole thing. And they had brought all printed pamphlets derogatory of Baba and all that, and it was all in the car. And suddenly he sees this car making a turn and turning turtle, with meeting a severe accident, and all those people strewn on the ground. And he drove up and stopped there to help these people, you know. And he found this literature all about denouncing Baba and all that. So that's how it was, yeah. And then Baba, of course, was there. A special silver stage had been made with a very fancy stool on which it was kept, made of green granite. Granite is very famous in Bangalore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all that place is full of granite, and it's exported from the country all over the world.
A greenish color then?
Yeah, there are several colors, green, pink, black, all these you get in Bangalore and the surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this snapshots of Baba performing the whole ceremony of groundbreaking.
Is this a hilly part of the country, or is it flat? Or
As far as I remember, it was quite flat and sort of an agricultural place.
Yeah.
So then there were some blocks built there thereafter, after the ceremony was over. But yes, so, and then Baba said, now we must get all our baggage from Mehrabad and we'll settle down here. It's nice. So, Norina, Elizabeth, Nadine, all these people had all the things brought from there. The other women also. So, a huge carriage was reserved and all the baggage was being brought over. But before it reached Bangalore, Baba suddenly said, no, I think my work here is over and we need to move. Baba darling, Norina was suddenly just, but Baba, we just called our baggage. Baba said, no, I think we must move from here. This place will not suit my work now, henceforth. So that's how it used to be. Baba would make them be subservient to his wishes. So he would go along with them, make them get involved in certain activities, but when he wanted them to dissociate from that, this is how he would cut it short, you know, so that there would be no involvement in any activity other than to just be with Baba and follow what he would want them to do. So that's how these little incidents bring home this fact of being with Baba.
I was reading in Kitty's memoirs about time in Bangalore that there were some of the mad people and monks were, I think, maybe moved there from Mehrabad.
Yes, yes. Not mad people. Mad Ashram was, I think, disbanded before the Blue Vase journey started, but the mask work continued. So there were certain masks left behind, and I think Kiraj was in charge, and they were brought over into Bangalore. And in this compound, actually, there was a small place built up where the mask would feel at home. And there would be a sort of a tea shop sort of front, you know, and they would feel at home.
I think Duncan called that Must Hotel.
Did he? Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's at Bangalore. I remember there was one place where there was a Must Hotel,
yeah,
with a sign.
So that's right. So the Must would think they are in the in the street and they would feel at home. And Jati Baba was there. He was the most favored mask at that time. He was, Baba said, he was on the sixth plane, and the Jamali mask, a very soft-spoken and gentle person, and he had a weakness for one thing, and that was rasam. Rasam is a preparation of tamarind juice with spices. It's very tasty, and especially in hot places, this is a very refreshing thing. And they have this as a staple food there. So Chetty Baba would love this rasam, and he would be given liberal supplies of it. And another thing he liked was to have a lot of sand around. And so Baba had actually brought this fine sand for him to just be there. After a bath, he would have this, he would just...
Like a child.
Yeah, like a child. Just play in the sand. And
but he would make mounds and push it.
Play in the sand, yeah, and just throw sand upon himself. Oh. Yeah. These were the characteristics which I remember. And there was a big straw hut built there. And when Baba was in seclusion there, we were asked not even to look in the direction of that hut. It's so strict Baba was in seclusion. It was in the compound of the Lease Bungalow. Yeah, and Baba sat in seclusion there. And And I think it was at that time that Tejas had that little experience of Chaiti Baba coming out after being with Baba and happened to brush Tejas, and he got a terrible shock as if a big high power current had flown through him or something.
Uh-huh.
If I remember right, it was at that time.
Would Baba go into seclusion? Was this for a period of several days, or it was like every day for a certain time?
I think for several days also, and then it would be intermittent. I'm not very clear about it. But those were days of intense work with mass and seclusion off and on. And it was the time when Baba had announced that he would be breaking his silence. One of those dates, you know. The oft-repeated dates which kept people interested in Baba. You know. So, one of the dates I think was in 1940 or something. So, the Baba then said that now he has decided to break that silence, but break it unto himself. So, we remember on that day we were all asked to be very quiet. Baba was in seclusion, and that he would be breaking the silence to himself. So it was in Linz, I remember. It was a very solemn day. The whole day we were supposed to be very quiet, not to make any noise.
What, did he say anything afterwards, or did he indicate that he had in fact broken the silence to himself, or what was the general reaction among you all?
Well, I haven't much recollection of that, but the day passed off very quietly and solemnly. I remember that.
Did you have any personal, as a little boy with the musts, would you avoid them, or would you ever any of them like children or anything?
Nothing. There was no contact with them. Mm-hmm. Baba never encouraged any of us to have any contact with the musts. Yes, he never encouraged that. Unless Baba called, and then only you were allowed to go there. Otherwise, he would not like any system. Well, I remember one mask was named Chadar Baba. So, it was one of these periods of seclusion, and everybody would have to sit quietly in their rooms. Baba would be seclusion for that period. And this Chatur Baba used to roam the streets of Bangalore. And Baba, I think, had mentioned he was the chargeman of Bangalore or something, if I remember right. And Kakabaria was sent to fetch him. And he wouldn't come. So day after day, Kaka would try and coax him to come. One day he suddenly just accepted to get into the taxi. As soon as he got in, Kaka drove, asked the man to drive post haste, and they entered the Lynx compound. And Chaiti Baba just was in a very bad temper, I think. He said, "Why have you brought me here into this place of Allah?"
Chaiti Baba was in a bad, or this monk?
No, this is Chaiti Baba.
Oh.
Yes. So, he was a fiery person. And then he suddenly entered the ashram, the women's ashram. And he went around all the rooms, and Baba told everybody to just be quiet, not to disturb him, let him do what he likes. And if I remember right, my sister was cooking in the kitchen. He entered the kitchen, he was there. He just made a big hurried round of the whole place. Baba somehow had a contact with him, just a fleeting contact. And then he rushed back into the car and was gone. Some such incidents used to take place. Yeah. So at that time, Baba would pander to the moods of the musts and see that they are not disturbed. He would be very particular about that.
Yeah. I remember the wayfarers talking about, I think, giving a bath to Chadi Baba, and how he would have bucket after bucket of water and kind of grand and glorious.
Yes. So whatever they wanted had to be supplied.
Yeah.
Whatever the trouble one had to take, but they had to be kept in proper mood. Because if they went off moon, then Baba's work would be spoiled. So the mandali have to be very careful with them.
With all these musts there and with all these Western women there, how would you pass off the days?
Well, I was entered in the school as soon as we joined Baba there. So most of the time I would be in school. And other times, of course, I would just play around in the compound. Early mornings was exercise session for me. Margaret was my physical teacher, so she would get me through the paces. I was a little weak in constitution. So Baba says to Margaret that I should be given proper exercise and all that. So she would be there.
Was you alone, or was Sam there? Sam
no, no.
There?
They all left after we came to Bangalore. A funny incident occurred. Sam's father wrote to Baba saying that he wanted his children back immediately. So, because they were shifted from Jabalpur to Bangalore, and Baba had in mind to get them entered with me into the school, but then he wrote a sort of unpleasant letter, and Sam came to know about this letter. So he was at that time a very unrestrained child, as it were. So he let go all sorts of fiery language as a child. I remember.
I guess just fiery.
Yeah. That old hag and the swine and this, and he's depriving us of from being with Baba, and suddenly Baba happened to come in, and they all tried to restrain him, and Baba says, no, let him say what he wants to say. And then Baba says, what's up, why are you so cross? And he said, Baba, I don't like to go back. And then Baba consoled him and said, no, you must listen to elders. And somehow he coaxed both Sam and Daddy to return home. So they went back to Bombay and continued their education there. So that was the brief stint they had at the links.
So you were then the only...
Yeah, I was there, and then just there, Baidul's family joined Baba from Iran. And so Baidul had two daughters. One was Daulat, the elder one, and another by name Sarwar. So Sarwar was about my age, a little older than me. So we both were entered into school together. So she went into the convent, and I was in St. Joseph's High School there. It was a big school, a missionary school.
Was it hard to suddenly be plunged into a new school with a new bunch of kids?
Yeah, it used to be difficult, but somehow, being a kid, I could get adjusted after a few days with new boys all around. Somehow, I would get accustomed. So,
would you speak English?
Yes, English. It used to be all English medium. All these missionary schools.
How good was your English in those days? Because with the Baba and the Westerners, of course, English would be the language.
But we spoke not very good English, but...
If you had grown up with it.
Yeah, so there would be not much of a problem. And the English was taught in the school. We had textbooks and all that, so gradually... My English improved quite a bit. Yes.
So it was all just natural from the beginning.
Yes, it was just natural. Mm-hmm.
I read in Kitty's account further that they're like that. It sounds like the Bangalore ashram, or this actually has already come out. There were a lot of people there. A lot of, she talks about a lot of disciples coming there,
yeah.
And also all these animals.
Yeah, there was a big menagerie, or what I would say. And there were rabbits and a deer and monkeys. And Norina was given charge of that small monkey, I forget, Lucky, his name was Lucky. You know, it was sent in a crate by my cousin, Sarat Gamanya, so from Bombay. He was bought there from an animal market. You have these little markets where they sell all these animals. So this monkey arrived in Bangalore, and when the case was opened, they said that as soon as this little animal, it was a tiny little monkey, so it just jumped out of the cage and headed straight for Baba. There were so many people sitting, mind you. So how it got attracted to Baba is the mystery, really. How these animals also feel that attraction for him. And just went and perched itself on Baba's shoulder and started saying all sorts of things as if he was trying to repeat all the hardships that he had undergone. And Baba was lending a ear to what he was saying and nodding his head. They said it was a very beautiful scene to watch. And so then Norina was given charge of this monkey. And so he would mess up the place, and Norina would be there with the broom and the thing to sweep up everything. And I remember one incident. Suddenly Baba sent for Norina to come as it was. So she has this broom in her armpit and that little pan to clean the thing. And Baba had, and she came to Baba, and there was the Divan of Mysore. And Baba said, "Meet Princess Norina." So Norina was so embarrassed, but the Divan was highly impressed that here was such a big person. I mean, socially, she was and was doing this sort of a job in Baba's ashram. So for him, it was a big experience. For Norina, it was an embarrassment. She didn't know what Baba was doing. So this is how Baba would, in small little things, bring out all this.
He must have been a man with a measure of spiritual appreciation.
Yes, yes. He was a deeply spiritual person. So much so that he would even bow down to Baba's mother.
Really?
Yes. My mother was saying that he was a very spiritually minded person. And he had great respect for the one who had given birth to such a divine being.
Well, so he really appreciated how great, he recognized Baba as a divine being.
Yeah.
Well, do you know if he later on continued to have a contact with Baba after Baba left?
I don't know. It might be all in the records. Gandhi would be such people, and Norina and all. So these were the little incidents that would occur in the ashram.
You mentioned that animals really responded to Baba. Do you remember that next episode of Lucky? Do you remember other things like that about Baba?
Yeah, Mani tells us about parrots and mynas and all these. They would feel attracted to Baba. Somehow, with all the people sitting there, they would head for Baba. So there must be this attraction for Baba, even in the animal world. Then there was this dog by the name of Chum. He must have heard so many stories about him. He was sent by my uncle Pirumaha as a small little puppy. And then he grew up there, and he was really a dog of some character. He wouldn't want anybody to approach Baba. He would
not even people.
Yeah, he would. But then when Baba would tell him, then he would be quiet. Otherwise, nobody dare approach. And Mani tells us of this incident of a calf which was there, and Baba would have two jawar bread brought and given. So this chum would start chasing that calf and not allowing it to approach, to have its little piece. You know. And they would go round and round the cabin. This was when Baba was staying in the cabin up there, next to his tomb. We have photographs of Chum and Baba there. And he was a great watchdog. And Baba did a lot of work with the animal kingdom also. As Baba said, he had to work for all in creation, not just the human species.
It is a striking aspect of the accounts of Baba, at least it struck me often, that there would be such a menagerie at one place after another.
Yes, that's true. So we had this quite a big collection of animals there, and there were a couple of pigs called Nati and Gati.
Pigs?
Yeah, huge. They were fed so much that they became real huge animals. I remember seeing them. And then one was a female and the other was a male. So they had a big litter afterwards. And then Baba had them given away to a good household so that they wouldn't be slaughtered. When the work was finished, then he would just send them off. So everything was depending on what work he had to do with other different animals. So that was life in Bangalore. Then in Bangalore there was that phase of Baba wanting concerts to be performed. So
what kind of concerts? Is this Western music or Eastern?
Not that, plays. Humorous plays. And other plays.
Yeah.
So people, all the ashram inmates had to take part in performing these little dramas. And Baba would have us perform in that big hall on the top. So it was suitable for all these dramas. And Mani was, of course, the leading person, helping several people to do several different dramas. So there were many funny things. And she hooked me into one of those little plays. I was a very shy kid, you know, so I said, no, I can't do that. I'll get a stage fright. But she said, no, you don't have to do much. I'll tell you, I've given you a very simple part to play. So she says, that, look, you have to be a sort of a small boy who's been employed as a servant to a very rich Nawab. And all you have to do is she was to be the Nawab, the rich Nawab. And all you have to do is when I say, boy, get the tea, then you have to get this tray of tea on the stage, put it before me, and do this salute like several, you know, these Mohammedans, they do all these sort of things as a sort of respectful gesture, and then just leave the stage. That's all you have to do. So I somehow reluctantly accepted. So, of course, my going up on the first floor was very restricted. I used to be down only. So I was given special permission to go up and perform one rehearsal. You know. So I was given this little basket as if it was a tray to perform, and she told me how to do things. It was just once, and I couldn't follow properly. being a little kid. So then when the actual time came, I was all made to dress up with like a bearer, you know, and this tray full of tea, and I was so nervous that I remember the whole tray was shaking and the cups were rattling with all the tea poured into it. And I come on stage and Baba sees me dressed up and he's laughing away, he's so amused with the spectacle. And then, you know, instead of putting the tray in front of Mani, I go and put it in front of Baba. So Mani says, "Boy, not there, here." She used to be very clever, interesting. But Baba was very amused with my little mistake that I did. Then I brought up there and there, and the cup got inverted and the tea spilled there. And there was a lot of going on. And such mishaps used to please Baba more, and you would have a very good laugh. And when Baba really enjoyed something, it was a sight to watch. Baba would be all shaking up and he would be red in the face and look very beautiful. Because no sound escaped when he laughed. But he could see that he was enjoying it to the hilt.
Yes.
And so he would be all flushed up. You know. Sometimes he would rub his heels as it were, like a small child. Couldn't contain the joy he felt, you know, as it were. So he could enjoy this the situation to the hill. And that would bring out the best out of all of us.
Yeah.
To see Baba enjoying something. And everybody had to perform to the best of their ability. And so it was a sort of a meditation, as it were, because they were all so keen upon what they had to do, and nothing else would be on their minds, and they would be all preoccupied with the several dramas that had to be performed. So just to please Baba, that was the idea.
That's funny that you should bring the tray of tea over to Baba.
Yeah, yes.
What happened? You just came in and saw Baba? And
yeah, I just forgot the whole sequence of action. And then my nervousness went and served the tea to him. And then Mani shouts, "Boy, you foolish fellow, come this side. You have to serve tea to me."
Yeah. Do you remember any of these plays, what they were about?
All funny little things. There was Najamaya dressed up as an old Parsi old man, and he had all these big sideburns and moustache of white cotton, and he's reading this newspaper as old Parsi gentlemen used to do. And suddenly one of his sideburns are falling down. So he lifts the paper up so that Baba and the audience won't see it. So Baba signs to someone that Naja, put down that paper, Baba wants to see your face. So she shouts in Gujarati, "Baba, my sideburns are falling." And Baba says, "Put down that paper." And Baba enjoying all those scenes. So here's one sideburn fallen, and she had to put down the paper, and they had a mighty good laugh. And part of the moustache was dropping down. Yes, so all these mishaps would please him all the more.
Would the whole ashram show up for these things?
Yeah. The women there.
Just the women,
yeah.
The men would
not. No, no, no men.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the inmates were sometimes the audience and sometimes performing there. After the performance, they would join the audience with Baba and so on.
Is that this ashram of Bangalore was mostly women anyway, right?
No, there was the ashram for the men. It was a few furlongs away, near the links, where all the men used to stay.
So there were quite a few.
Oh yeah, men, yes, yes. The whole ashram has come here from Meraba. Quite a few men mandali were there.
But again, the separation was pretty complete.
Yes, complete. No men would come here unless Baba would call them for some work. But mainly Baba would go there for his work.
Yeah. Yes. But you were staying
with women.
With your mother?
Yes.
So you stayed in a room downstairs?
Yeah. There was a big hall just above the top floor, and we were housed there. And Baba's room was in the front.
Yeah.
There was a big veranda in front, and a big porch and a portico, I remember, and two side rooms were there. So on one side room was Baba's room in the front, and we were in the hall in the center. And every day Baba would go from his room in the morning up there, and Meramani used to stay on the first floor. So I would be ready for Baba, and as soon as he came, then I would bow down at his feet.
He allowed that?
Yeah, at that time, Baba used to allow it. But somehow nobody else was doing it. Only I was doing it. Probably being a small child. So I could do that.
You had that special permit,
yeah.
As it were. Would he sort of come and stand for a minute?
No, while he was going by, I would just come out, and he would stop. Then I would bow at his feet, and then he would embrace me, and then go up.
So this is part of the daily routine?
Yeah, it was a part of the day.
Oh, nice.
Daily routine.
Do you remember other times? Yeah.
One day, it was my birthday. So I was in school, and Baba asked my mother, what does your child like to eat? So she said, Baba, he likes plain dal and rice best. So Baba tells my mother, silly, you're trying to tell me yarns. Nobody would like plain dal and rice as the best dish. So she said, all right, Baba, you ask him. So Baba tells Mani, you know, when my one comes from school, see that he doesn't meet his mother. And you accost him and ask him first what he would like to have. What is his most favorite dish? Mani catches hold of me as soon as I get him. So that